appreciate all those specials. I appreciate all the singing.
Amen.
I was thinking as I was sitting there, and I was looking out over the congregation as the congregation was singing, and it did my heart good. I love to see the people of God rejoicing and singing the songs of Zion, and it's a beautiful sight. And I was just sitting there, and I was looking, and I thought, you know, it's a little taste of heaven. And yet, as I was looking, my joy was somewhat mixed. Because as I looked over this and I saw all of this happiness and joy, I couldn't help but think about those that once sat right here.
Yes.
That went away. Yes. And they don't have this anymore. And as I thought about that, I couldn't help but think, do you know, dear ones, that's what it's going to be like in eternity? What's going to happen is the people that don't make it to heaven, I believe they're going to be looking and they're going to be seeing the saints rejoicing, singing the songs of Zion and thinking, I could have had that. And I'm going to tell you that that's a sobering thought. And while I rejoiced to see the saints singing, my heart was heavy to think of those that have gone away, that do not experience that tonight. And so my burden this evening, this is what the Lord has given to me. I'll say this. Brother Carl preached all over and all around it today. And he said he had about 2 hours worth, but he wasn't going to preach it all, so maybe that's why. So I hope you don't get tired of hearing a little bit more about it. But I'd like to look at a passage of Scripture. And I would like to notice what Jesus said. It's here and found in John, the 12th chapter. In John, the 12th chapter, in the 35th verse, very familiar passage of Scripture. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. There's 3 points here that I would like to draw our attention to, that I'd like for us to consider for just a little while this evening. First, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Second, he said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And third, he said, while you have the light, believe in the light. There's also a fourth point, and if we get time, Lord, I want to get to that as well. But, dear ones, I believe that it would do every one of us here well to take heed to what Christ said.
Amen.
And when I say every one of us, I believe that applies to the saved and the unsaved alike, because this applies to all of us this evening. It was a warning that Jesus gave that every one of us would do well to take heed to. When you look at this, I want to start here first with this first point that Jesus made. He said in this 35th verse, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Now I want to stop for just a moment, and I want to ask us a question. How long is a little while? Can you answer that? It's kind of difficult, isn't it? Because it's all relative to a situation. For example, to some, a little while may be a few minutes or a few hours. To others, a little while may be a few weeks or a few months. And to others, it may be a few months or a few years. You see, it's all relative to the situation. And so that's why it's difficult for us, when you look at this, to be able to say, when he said here, what is a little while? Now, for example, those of you that have children, you tell your children, you can go outside and play for a little while. Now, children love to play, do they not? And so you tell them you can go out and play for a little while. And you know, a couple hours can go by so quickly. And when you go and you call them and say, okay, it's time to come in, what do they typically say? Can I play for just a little while longer? Because I've not been able to play very long. But you know what? You take those same children, you set them in a setting like this, and they look up at you and say, how much longer before we can go? Do you know 30 minutes can seem like such a long time? But you know, it's not just with children that way. It's the same way with adults. How many times has someone asked you, how long has it been since you did such and such? And you say, oh, not very long, just a little while. And then you stop and you begin to figure it up and say, oh, I had no idea it has been that long. And yet, what do? We get in a traffic jam when we're in a hurry and we're running late. And what do we tell people? We say, I thought I was never going to get out of there. It took forever to get through that traffic. When reality, it was probably 30 minutes. Do you see? It's all relative to the situation. When you look at our perspective of a little while, it's not necessarily proportional to the length of time that's involved. Our perception of that is not necessarily proportional to the amount of time that's involved. Our desires, our actions have a much greater impact on our perception of a little while than time does. And so that's why it's difficult to answer that question, how long is a little while? But I want you to notice what Jesus said here. When you look at this, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. I wonder this evening how long that is for you and for me. While I can't answer that for you, and I really can't answer it for myself, I believe, dear ones, that the answer to that is directly proportional to our desires and our actions. How long, how much we desire to have the light, to live for the Lord, the actions that we take are directly proportional to how long a little while is that you and I will have the light. When you look at this, I've known people, and I'm sure you have too, that have been saved. Some of them a long time, some of them not very long, that have had a sweet experience. And when you talk to them, they seem to have a clear vision of the truth. Heartfelt convictions, and it seems like they love the Lord. And by, something happens and they get offended. They get in some kind of a conflict. There's something that comes up and they go away. And then I've looked, and after some time have passed, and I've run across them, and I would look and I would think, I was amazed at how far they have gone. Or their children, or their companion. And I see them doing things and saying things that I wonder sometimes, how could they go so far so quick? How could they lose that clear vision that they once had of the truth? And how could they take in those heartfelt convictions that once that they expressed and you heard them and they get up in services like this and they tell of what the Lord revealed to them. And I wonder, how could they lose that so quickly? But they did. And you know, I believe the answer to that is found in the second point that Jesus made here. He said here, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Now, we heard a lot about light this afternoon. But Webster defines light as something that makes vision possible. Another definition that he gave was spiritual illumination. It's something that dispels darkness and confusion. Do you know, dear ones, without light, it's impossible to be able to see? You can have 20/20 vision. You can look at something and you don't need the aid of glasses or anything else, and you can see it just as clearly as anyone else. But if you lose the light, you can't see anything. And you know what happens? Many times when a person that has perfect vision is plunged into darkness, they're in a worse case than a blind person in many ways. Now you might say, well, Brother Curtis, how is that? Neither one of them can see. But you know, a blind person, because of their blindness, they have learned to adapt and they have learned to utilize senses that you and I that can see very well don't utilize as much. Hearing, feel, touch, smell, just even a sense of direction and where they're at. And it's amazing. And I guess I'm glad they can't see me in a way, because I love to watch people that are blind. And I watch them and I think it's amazing how they can get around. And you watch them walking down the street and I'm thinking, if I was blind, I'd probably be sitting in a chair. I'd be afraid to get out there. But they have learned to adapt and to develop senses that you and I don't. And so what happens is when somebody that is not blind, when they are plunged into darkness, they stumble and they fall. And they have a complete sense of loss of direction, and they're just totally confused. The ones I'm thinking spiritually tonight. Because many times it seems like that people that have never been saved, they've never been exposed to the truth, they've never had that real sweet experience of salvation, many times they have what seems like a better sense of right and wrong and an ability to escape the snares and traps of the enemy than those that have once known the truth and turned their back on the light and gone out into darkness. And you know, it seems like also many times that those that have once known the truth, many times those that go the deepest in sin and those that persecute the way of truth are typically those that have once had a religious background. And you look at that and you'll see that. And I see that many times. And you could go back and you could study the Hitlers and all the people like that through time. And you'll be amazed at how many, when they were young, had an experience where they either had it themselves or someone very close to them knew the Lord. And they went away. And they went far away from the Lord. The Apostle Peter over here in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, he spoke about this and warned us of the consequences of going back on light. In 2 Peter 2 and 20, he said, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Sounds like a very serious thing, doesn't it? Do you remember Judas? Judas walked with Christ, the light of the world. But somewhere along the way, Judas turned his back on the truth and he went a different way. And you know what? Where Judas ended up? He ended up taking his own life. He got in a place of desperation that he didn't know what else to do, and so he just took his own life, like many in our world today. Do you remember King Saul? King Saul was a man that God had chosen to lead the people of Israel. He was a man that was humble and that hid himself in the baggage, and the Lord chose him to lead the people of Israel. But somewhere along the line, King Saul allowed a little pride to get in his heart. And what happened? He decided to turn his back on the Lord. And when he did, what happened? He was destroyed by the Philistines, wasn't he? You know, we can go through one after another in the scriptures. You remember Belshazzar? What was it that Daniel said about him? You'll find it over there. I believe it's in the 5th chapter of Daniel. He said, "Though thou knewest all this." You see, Belshazzar had light. He had understanding. He knew the dealings of God with his father and how that the Lord had taken, God had taken and dealt with him, and he'd saw him no doubt out there grazing like an ox. And yet, King Belshazzar, for whatever reason, turned from that light and understanding, and he allowed his pride to lift him up, and he was destroyed. If you look at this in the 5th chapter in the 30th verse, what he did was he allowed his pride to get him right into the devil's trap. And so the devil destroyed him. It says here in Daniel 5 and 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Dear ones, these accounts are not written in the scriptures just to fill space. They're not just a chronological order of history, and it's just another account of history. God caused these accounts to be placed within the scriptures so that you and I can understand the consequences of the warning that Jesus gave us. When you go back over here and you look at what Jesus said in John 12 and 38, he said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Now, when you look at these people that I just mentioned, do you think any of them recognized when they first turned from the light where they would end up? I don't believe they did. Now, it's apparent that King Saul knew what was going to happen to him because he went to the witch, the ones that he had killed before, but in his desperation, because he had turned his back on God, on light, and so God had withdrawn his presence from him. And when King Saul got in trouble, he couldn't find the Lord. He couldn't find anybody to be able to help him. And so in his desperation, he went to the witch. And the witch brought up the spear of Samuel and he told him what was going to happen. So he knew what was fixing to happen, but it was too late at this point. See, he should have recognized this way back when he first turned from the Lord. King Belshazzar, he knew Daniel. He was there and he revealed to him, this is the judgments of God. And King Belshazzar should have known. He knew what was should have been known what was happening. But you see, he should have remembered that way back there. When the enemy began to tempt him with other things, and he turned from the light and the understanding that he had, and he started going down this path. Do you see, the enemy likes to deceive souls. And so I'm convinced that when they first did it, they really had no idea of where they were headed. Just like the Apostle Paul, when you look over there in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and he was speaking there in 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, he said, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Do you see, the scribes and the Pharisees and those that were leaders in their time, had they known that this was the Christ and where they were going to end up, I believe they would have been changed in their ways. Just like I believe that Saul and Judas and Belshazzar, had they known when they first, if the Lord had just opened their understanding and said, "You're going to be slain. You're going to hang yourself. You're going to do this." I believe they'd have stopped and said, "Whoa, that's not where I want to go." But you see, they had warnings. When I look at this, dear ones, the question is why did they not know? Had they not heard? What does the scripture say? Have they not heard? Yea, they heard. The gospel went out. The message went out. The prophet was there to warn them. But the enemy of their soul deceived them, just like he did Adam and Eve. We've already heard that in the meeting, haven't we? It's okay. God knows if you eat of this fruit, you'll be wise as he is. Do you see, dear ones? The enemy likes to come in and he likes to deceive us to where we'll make a decision that will lead us down a path that none of us want to go. And that's what he did with them. When I look at this, they failed to walk in the light that was on their pathway. And when they did, darkness came upon them. Do you know, dear ones, Belshazzar should have recognized the destruction that was coming, the consequences of his actions, but he didn't. You know why I say he didn't? Because I'm convinced that had he known, that he would have been preparing to meet the enemy that night instead of partying and drinking, while the enemy was creeping closer and closer. And then he sprang and he destroyed him. Do you know, dear ones, there are many people today that are going on about the things that the enemy has convinced them to do, and they have no idea that the devil is right on their trail. How close they are. Many of them have made choices and decisions, and they've gone down this path, and everything seems to be going well, and they think, I'm just living life, and everything's well. But they have no idea how what's right ahead of them. You say, well, they should know. They know if you turn from the Lord. Do you know what? There are so many people in our world today that are deceived, that they think they're going to heaven, even though they're living lives that are wicked and an abomination in the eyes of God. And that's because, dear ones, they don't know. And you say, but why do they not know? I want you to remember something. It's impossible to see in darkness. You can't see it. When there is no light, you can't see it. And so that leads me to another question that I want us to consider this evening. Do we have what it takes to be able to have a clear vision of the truth this evening? Do you know it takes light to be able to understand truth? You have to have that. And I look at this, and there's a scripture over here in John, the 9th chapter. In John, the 9th chapter, in the 5th verse, Jesus was speaking again, and he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Dear ones, Christ is the light. He is the one that makes it possible for you and I to be able to see. Without Christ, we cannot know truth. It's just like the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, we can have a vast knowledge of the scriptures. We can memorize them from a child, and we can have a we could quote chapter and verse and maybe a whole book of the scriptures. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it takes light to know truth. To be able to know the truth, we must know Christ. That's the only way that we can know truth. We must have a personal relationship with Christ where he can come down and walk with us and talk with us just like he did Adam and Eve. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil is doing everything he can to keep that from happening. And so we must have this kind of relationship. Jesus asked the disciples over here in Matthew. In Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. You'll find this, Matthew 16 and 13 through the 19th verse. And I'm not going to read all this for sake of time tonight. But it's where Jesus was asking the disciples, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, thou art John the Baptist, or you're Elias, or you're another prophet. Well, Jesus asked him, he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, being the outspoken one of them, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Dear ones, it's important for us to get a hold of this. Flesh and blood is not going to be able to reveal truth to your soul. You can't learn it from human wisdom and understanding. You say, well, I'm learned of the scriptures and I've got all of this and I'm going to study it. It takes Christ to reveal this truth to our hearts. The only way that Peter was able to understand this was because he was following Christ everywhere that he went. He was following his teachings. He was walking with the light of this world. And so God was able to reveal this to his heart. Dear ones, I'll say it again. Without Christ, we cannot understand truth. We must have him in our lives. We must have the experience with Christ. What does the scripture say in one place? It says, If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Why is that important? We've already heard it in the meeting. Because if He doesn't cleanse us from all sin, Christ cannot come down and dwell within our hearts. He's not going to abide in a temple that is corrupted. No more than God would come down and fill the old literal temple if there was heathen sacrifices in there. God would withdraw from that. And dear ones, He'll do the same thing in our lives today. If there's things that are wrong in our life and we ignore those things and we do not measure up to those, the Spirit of Christ is going to depart from us. And that light that gives us truth, that expounds truth to our souls, that helps us to understand right and wrong, it'll depart from us and we'll find ourselves in darkness. When Christ is in us, there's something else that happens. You remember what Christ said? He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But you know what happens when Christ is in us? We become the light of the world. And we heard that this afternoon. Matthew, the 5th chapter, Brother Carl, I believe, read that, so I won't go through that. But Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Lord, help us this evening to recognize the seriousness of living a life where you and I can have the presence of God dwelling within our hearts. I'm going to tell you, it's so vital in our world today that Christ is still in our world. And the only way He's going to be there is that He's going to live in our hearts and lives. And when that doesn't happen, I'm going to tell you, it's a fearful thing. When the Spirit of Christ is no longer in this world. Lord, help us to be able to get a hold of this. And that leads me to the third point that Jesus made here in John 12 and the 36th verse. He said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Young people, I want to encourage you to remember this evening. While you have opportunity, while you have the light, while you are innocent in your life, you say, I'm not saved. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can go much deeper. And while you have light, believe in the light. Because if you do not believe in it, there's something that's going to happen. Light reveals things that darkness conceals. And dear ones, we're living in a world where sin is abounding. Our world is filled with spiritual darkness. People are calling good evil and evil good. There is so much that is happening in a world today that is hard for us to comprehend sometimes. And you say, why is that? And the reason is because they're walking in darkness. Things that should be obvious in the light are not very obvious in the dark. And that's what's happening in our world today. I'll give you an example. Last fall, my wife and I went to New Mexico to the mountains, and we were camping. My son and his wife and family were with us, and when they came, they brought this big ice chest. You've seen those big old white, looks like a little casket. They brought it full of food, and so when they brought it, we carried it in and set it in our living room in our fifth wheel, right there in the middle. Kind of made a seat, and it was there. And one night, we were eating supper, and it was out. It was dark, and we were out by the fire eating supper, and I needed to go in and get something out of the refrigerator. And so I went in and I didn't turn the light on, and I'm just going from here to the refrigerator. And I walked in, I got something out of the refrigerator, and I turned to the sink and I did something, and I turned and I went head over heels right over top of that ice chest. Now, I knew that it was there. In fact, I believe I'm the one that told him to set it right here. So I knew it was there. And somebody might say, well, but Curtis, that's so big. It should be, it's white. It ought to be very obvious. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it wasn't obvious in the dark. And I say that to say this. There are a lot of things that are happening in our nation, in our world today, that should be obvious that they're wrong. Do you know, dear ones, it should be obvious the difference between a male and a female? I look out here and I have no problem being able to tell this is a male and this is a female. Now, I recognize that our world has been slowly changing the principles of modesty and other things that the scriptures teach, and people have gotten more and more and more alike. They dress alike. They cut their hair alike. They do so many things where it's grade that line. But you know, I still don't have a problem going out most of the time and looking and say, that's a female. That's a male. But you know what's happening in the world today? There are people who are saying that males are females and females are males.
Yeah, that's true.
Why is that happening? Because they're walking in darkness.
Right.
There are people that are so confused they don't know what they are.
Right.
And they're saying, I'm non-binary. I can be either one.
Right.
But you know, dear ones, the very fact that someone has to take and alter physical features of their body in order to be like the gender that they want to be, it ought to be obvious that something is drastically wrong. But they won't accept it. And that's because they're walking in darkness. You know, the Apostle Paul said over here in Romans, very familiar scripture in Romans, the first chapter, starting in the 24th verse, he said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto the vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, men with men, doing those things which are not convenient. Why are they doing it? Because they're walking in darkness. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't stop here. You go on, and he goes on, and he says in this 28th verse, and he said, and even as they did not like to retain, and I'm going to say light. They didn't want to retain God. I don't want anything to do with God. I want to push the light out. I'm turning this direction. I don't want anything to do with that. And he said, because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of strife, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. It says covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, you just can't deal with them, unmerciful, and it goes on. Does that sound familiar? Is that not an accurate description of what many people are doing in our nation today? Dear ones, this is what happens when people walk in darkness. This is what happens when people turn from the light that God has shed on their pathway. It's what happens to societies that turn their back on God. You begin to see these kind of things happen. And so when you wonder sometimes, and you probably have it as I do, why would people clamor to turn all the criminals loose while at the same time they are very critical of people of moral principles, and they are quick to condemn them, and they're quick to say, you need to silence them. You see, all of this cancel culture that's in our nation today, you can't have that kind of stuff. And they're quick to condemn and to cancel them, even to prosecute them because of their beliefs. And you say, why would people do this? On the one hand, they're doing things and you're seeing people that are being let out. And I understand there's people that have changed, But I'm talking about criminals that as soon as they get out, go and commit another murder. And we just heard this morning there's somebody that was killed. And it affects our loved ones.
Yes.
And you say, why would people do that? It's because they're walking in darkness. And they don't see these things. And when you look at this, do you ever wonder why so many are demanding that we legalize drugs in our society? Something that is wrecking people's lives. It's filling our streets with homelessness. And it's causing people's minds to be so warped and so they're unstable mentally. And yet at the same time, these same people are taking and insisting that it be illegal for any place in our nation to mention the name of God in our public squares. You see, they've turned their back on the light. They don't want that, and they don't want it there because it reveals. What does it say in one place? It said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I wonder sometimes when I look at things and I see how out of kilter they are. Why would people demand the right to kill babies? Unborn babies, even to the point after they're born. And yet at the same time, tell you and I, it's immoral for you to burn natural gas or to have a combustion engine because it's polluting the environment. Can you see how warped our society is, dear ones? Do you ever scratch your head and say, how do we get here? I'm going to tell you what the devil's done. He's used political correctness to silence good people. And what's happening is where our nation is literally going to hell because it is corrupted and the demons are just taking over. That's what's happening in our nation. And so I look at these things and I see this and I say, Lord, why? Why are these things happening? And I wonder, do you ever wonder why people are so concerned about our environment? That things are destroying our environment? When, on the other hand, they're living such wicked lives that it is hastening the destruction of this old world because the cup of the wrath of God is filling up. Do you know why they're doing that? It's because the enemy knows what's happening. He knows how close he can see. In my mind, he can see that cup of the wrath of God filling up. And he knows it's getting close. You go out and you talk to people, you look at surveys, and how many of them are saying, something is about to happen. Many people are saying they feel like this world's going to be destroyed. And so the devil has got them distracted over here on the environment. And you see, it's immoral for you to have that natural gas or that combustion engine because you're destroying the environment. And yet they're doing the very thing that's going to send people to hell. And it's going to bring the wrath of God upon our nation. Lord, help us. It happens because people are working in darkness. Dear ones, if you don't believe that the wrath of God is the cup of the wrath of God is filling up, you need to look around at the wickedness that's being promoted in our society. I'm going to tell you, it grieves me. And I know that it grieves the great heart of God. When he sees some of the awful things that are happening, and I'll just speak plainly, the sexual abuse of little children, the forced indoctrination of little children of lifestyles that are an abomination in the eyes of God, encouraging little children to have irreversible gender changes that many of them, now that it's happened for a while, are going out and they're committing suicide because it's such an awful thing that they don't know how to deal with it. When you have bodies like our United Nations, and I know this is not popular in our world today, but that have said it's okay for nations, you should not persecute people because adults are having relationships with children. And you know the time I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, these things are filling up the cup of the wrath of God. And it's all happening because people are walking in darkness. It's there's things that should be obvious to mankind, but they're not, because the enemy has deceived them. They've turned from the light and they're walking in darkness. It reminds me of the warning that the prophet Isaiah gave us over here in Isaiah the 5th chapter. In Isaiah the 5th chapter, in the 20th verse, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Dear ones, my heart aches to think of the woe that is being pronounced upon our nation. We're not going to escape it if we continue down this path. There is a concerted effort in our nation to undermine the principles that this nation was founded on. And those principles govern marriage. They govern our relationships one to another. They govern respect for authority. They govern things like honesty and integrity and all the things that the Bible stands for. But what has happened is the enemy has slowly caused people to turn from the light, and they've gone their own way. And it's amazing to me how quickly our nation and our society has turned into a godless society. And it all happens because of darkness. The prophet said, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." You know, Jesus came for the express purpose to change all of that. He said over there in John 12 and 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Dear ones, our nation, you and I do not have to abide in darkness, because Christ came to set us free from sin, so that he could come down and dwell within our hearts, and you and I could live a life that is free from sin, and we can look and see clearly. We don't have to trip over those ice chests, so to speak. We don't have to stumble over the things that the world is falling for, because light reveals these things to you and I. We don't have to have the intense heartache that sin brings, because light exposes the traps and snares of the enemy, and we don't have to fall in those. Jesus also said in John 9 and 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The night cometh when no man can work. Young people, this is why I said earlier, I want you to remember this. Believe in the light while you have the light, that you may be the children of light. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe it, you're not going to walk in it. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Walk while you have the light. Walk, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you." When the Lord began to give me this message, I was sitting at home and I was sitting in my easy chair and I was looking out. We have all these windows there. And I was meditating one morning, just about daybreak. And I was sitting there and I was looking out the window and I was meditating. And as I was looking in the upper pane of the window, I noticed a sliver of the moon. It was just a sliver that night. Was in the upper pane. And so as I was sitting there and I was meditating and looking to the Lord, I noticed that the moon began to rise. And little by little, it got closer and closer to the corner of that window. Until finally, all there was just a little speck of light that looked like a bright star. And as I sat there, not moving, it went out of sight. And I lost sight of it completely. For a little while, I could discern the glow of the moon. I could still see it. But after a little bit, I could not discern the glow from the moon from the brightness of the sky around it. And so I sat there and I looked. You know what I did? I leaned over and I looked. And all of a sudden, the moon, because I had a bigger vision, when I moved from where I was at, once again, I could see the full sliver of the moon. And that's when the Lord began to talk to me about this message. You know, dear ones, I wonder this evening. This is my burden. How many of us here, or how many that's listening online, have gotten into a place to where you're comfortable, spiritually speaking, not moving, not measuring up? I'm not going away from the Lord, but I'm also not continuing to follow as the Lord leads me. And slowly the light has completely slipped away from you. May not even realize it. I wonder how many can still see just a little speck of light. Or maybe you can still discern the glow, and so you feel comfortable where you're at. Perhaps you can still see all of that sliver of light, but you're in a place to where something, things are progressing and the Lord's dealing and He's working, and you know He's put His finger on something in my life and I'm going to have to make a move spiritually or it's going to slip completely away. You know, dear ones, that can happen to any one of us. I said when I started, this applies to the saved and the unsaved alike. If you're here tonight and the light has completely slipped away and you don't no longer experience what we have been experiencing here in the song services, and you can't raise your hand and say that that's true within my heart. If you look at the saints and you look at the Word of God and you don't really clearly see it like you once did, I want to exhort you to make a move spiritually. Whatever it takes, you need to make a move and get to the place to where you can once again see the true light. If you're in a place where you recognize the Lord's been dealing with you and you say, I'm comfortable, I'm not unsaved, I'm not doing those things that you've been talking about, I'm doing okay, and I'm just sitting here in my easy chair and I'm just enjoying life. If you are not continuing to grow in the Lord, the light's going to slip away from you and you'll find yourself in darkness. And you say, I'll never do those things. Do you know, I wish I could tell you the number of people that I have talked to and I've watched that I, at one point, they said, I'd never do that. And they're doing it today. Why? Because they're walking in darkness. My burden this evening is, where are we spiritually? Do we have what it takes to have a clear vision of the truth? Do we have a burning experience of Christ in our life? If we don't, here's the concern. And this is the fourth point that I want to bring out. It says here, after Jesus talked to them about these things, it says He departed and He hid Himself from them. I want that to settle in on us. He departed and He hid Himself from them. Do you know, dear ones, it is a terrible thing to be in a place where you need God and you can't find Him. I've been in that place. Do you know Job was in that place? He said he got in a desperate place. And he said, I looked for Him on the left and on the right and every place I looked and I could not find Him. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you get into a place where you need God and you cannot find Him, it is a desperate place. But you know there's a difference? Job was following Christ, or following God, all the way through. He was measured up to all the light that he knew. And his faith and his love for God was a light that carried him through that dark place. I've been in a place like that. And I'm going to tell you, when you cry out to God and the devil says he's not going to answer, he's forsaking you, it's a terrible thing. If you have not been walking in all the light on your pathway and you're in darkness, It's a place of despair, of utter despair. It's one thing for you and I to be in a place like that, like Job. It's another place to be in a place like Judas was. Do you know the difference between Judas and Peter? Peter also failed the Lord. He cursed. He turned his back on the Lord. But there was a difference. Peter did it. He had been following the Lord. God had revealed things to him. He just did not have the power in his life to overcome the enemy when he came in like a flood. It wasn't that he just made a conscious decision, I'm not going to go with God anymore, like Judas did. See, Judas said he was a thief. Somewhere he was doing things that he knew was wrong. And so he turned his back on the Lord. The one hung himself. The other one, the Lord saved and used him mightily. Dear ones, if you're here tonight and the Lord has shown light on your pathway and you've once known this is truth and I know this, and you know you're not measured to it, you need to make a move spiritually. You better take care of it. Because I'm going to tell you, there's coming a time that you're going to desperately need God and you're not going to be able to find Him. You say, when is that? I don't know. A little while. Remember, a little while is not proportional to the amount of time that our perception is. But it's directly proportional to our desires and our actions. If you and I fail to take the steps, do you know if I had failed to move, bend over, and look, I would have never seen that light again and it would have went on. Daylight would have come and I would have never been able to see it. But because I bent over, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're going to have to humble ourselves to walk with God. We're going to have a desire, Lord, I want the truth more than life itself, to where I'm willing to take and make a move spiritually and do what it takes. If I don't, and the Lord has been knocking on my heart's door, and I'm not doing it, but I'm comfortable, I'm not out in sin, the light is going to slowly move on, and you're going to find yourself in darkness. And I've just told you what happens in darkness. I don't want to see that happen to any of us. And my burden, and I believe the burden that the Lord has for us this evening, is that you and I would recognize we've just got a little while. And we need to take every effort that we can, and we need to be willing to humble ourselves and make that move, whatever it takes, to be able to get an experience with the Lord. Appreciate your attention this evening.